Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
All right, everyone, you can get out your Bibles. We are going to be digging into God's Word. And we are starting this new series titled True or False. And what we're doing is we're going to be going through the book of 1 Timothy. So just open your Bibles now to 1 Timothy, and we're going to be looking at different parts in chapter 1 this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 1. When I was younger, yes, I'm older now. I don't look it all the time, but yes, one time I was younger. When I was a student in school, both middle school, high school, and even throughout college, I did well, okay? I excelled in my academics. I would get good grades because I studied hard and I worked hard, and my parents kind of told me that, hey, you're naturally gifted also in being smart. And so having affirmation like that, I know, surprise, right? Having affirmation like that and having grades that reflected that, I became what some of you may call a know-it-all. Any know-it-alls in the room today as well? All right. So I know everything. You shouldn't question anything I say because I know everything, right? I am right about everything. Or at least I used to believe this about myself. I became a know-it-all. I believed that I knew everything and that I was right about everything. And so whenever I was in arguments with, say, my parents or even friends on the playground, in my classes, I would debate and I would stand up for what I believe to be true. And I had eloquent speech, and I would be very good at convincing, or at least thinking I was being convincing. But really, what was going on was I was just very puffed up with what I knew and was very arrogant about how I presented what I knew. Does it sound like any of us in the room as well? This is a pretty common problem. This isn't just me. I'm sure there are others that fall into the same thing. This is what tends to happen in us. We are seekers of knowledge and truth, right? We want to know more. We want to go seeking for knowledge. We want to know things. Some of us are like experts at Googling things. And so anytime there's like a discussion, it's like, oh, you're watching a movie. Who's that actor? What movie has he been in? Oh, well, I know because I know all about this actor. I know everything he's been in. I know things. We're experts at Googling things, and so we kind of will use that as a way of saying, like, hey, look at me. I know things, don't I? Look at me. Look how smart I am. I know things. And so we like to know more and more. We want to figure things out. Whenever there's a problem or a situation where you're like, I'm going to tackle that head on because I know things. I'm going to get in there. I'm this expert. So we'll do that in life. But then when it comes to like God's Word, especially if we're maybe newer to following Jesus, we want to get into this thing and study, don't we, right? And some of us, we've been like at this for years and we're like, study. I got to know this thing inside and out. And so we become experts at digging into God's Word, and we get really good at learning what's in there. We're really good at searching boldly, as we're valuing here at AWC. We get really good at searching boldly, but then what starts to happen is we start to forget to apply what we've learned to our own lives. So we fill ourselves with knowledge, we fill ourselves with knowing things, we fill ourselves with information and facts, and we can spit them out speedily and go, man, I'm pretty smart, look at me. I'm an expert in God's Word. I know what's in there. And yet our lives cannot reflect what is in there. We can be so good at knowing it and forget to apply it. And so what starts to happen practically is we might be in a situation where maybe in our small groups or maybe in conversations with other people, we'll start to interject. We'll start to go, actually, that's a good phrase to use when you're trying to correct someone, right? Actually, you're wrong, you're stupid, I know what I'm talking about. This is what the Bible says. Actually, the Bible doesn't say that. Actually, you're out of line. Actually, this. And so we'll interject as a way to kind of make ourselves look smarter and be that person who is, I'm going to influence this person, I'm going to correct them, I know what I'm talking about, I'm the expert. And then what happens is you become so arrogant and so puffed up with the knowledge that you then become unapproachable. People start to avoid you. People don't invite you into the small group or into the social setting because you're just going to dominate conversation and make it awkward. You've become unbearable. And what we end up doing is we are trading away our spiritual growth, the application of what the Bible says, for just intellectual advancement. We want to know the Bible, but we're not living it out practically. We're not living out Christ to each other. This isn't a new problem. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 7, and then again in 15 and 16, this is what it says, starting in verse 3. Paul's writing this to Timothy. He says, "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they don't know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm." And then if we just jump up and read 15 and 16, Paul says this, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus, might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." Okay, to set this up so that you understand what Paul's talking about, what's going on. So Timothy was this young pastor that Paul had placed in charge of in the town of Ephesus, or the city of Ephesus. And in this church, there were men who were doing exactly as we laid out earlier. They were seekers of knowledge, and they wanted to know things, and they were pursuing so much knowledge and learning so much stuff that they became just intellectually obsessed. They were just obsessed with learning and knowing. And it got to the point where these men were so full of pride and so full of this puffed up, arrogant knowledge that they started delving into things that were controversial, things that were wrong, things that were just meaningless. Their pursuit of knowledge actually led them towards false beliefs. Because it's like, I got to know things, and hey, here's some other things I could know, and it's actually wrong, but hey, I want to know it, I'm going to seek it, and I'm going to just put all of this knowledge in my little brain and be full of it, that now I'm prideful, now I'm arrogant, now I'm even blasphemous. And so what happened was these men were so full of all this stuff that as they began to speak and influence people in the church became full of controversy and meaningless talk. These men, and probably other people who were following along with them, started missing the main point. Paul points out the main point in verse 15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is pretty much all you need to know. Yes, you can pursue more knowledge beyond that, but this is the main point. This is all you need to know, and because that's all you need to know, now there's an implication for how that should shape your life. There's an implication about Christ Jesus coming into the world to save sinners that's meant to change my life, change my behavior, change my habits, change how I treat my family, change how I treat my coworkers, change how I live in this world. That's the implication. But these guys were like, there's got to be more to know than that. And so forget all that. I got to know more, and I'm just going to pursue knowledge and puff myself up with knowledge and forget the main point. And because I've missed the main point, now I've missed the implication, and now my life is not changed. It's not about how much you can know about Jesus. It's about allowing what he did to change how you live. And so here's our main point that I think this is what Paul's saying to Timothy. I think this is what we need to hear today. Knowledge without obedience does not produce spiritual transformation. Knowledge without obedience does not produce spiritual transformation. You can know all kinds of fun facts about Jesus or about the Bible. You can have your head full of knowledge about him and yet not be changed by any of it and go around living like a dummy. Knowledge without obedience does not produce spiritual transformation. We see this same thought echoed in other places in Scripture. In 2 Timothy, also written by Paul, it's just a follow-up to the previous, he says this in chapter 2, verse 16. He says, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. More and more ungodly. The more you pursue this knowledge that just leads nowhere, the more ungodly you become. And this is exactly what was going on in the church in Ephesus. Paul writes this to Titus as well in chapter 3, verse 9. He says, avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. The knowledge you're pursuing so adamantly can become useless. Anyone just full of useless information? Yeah, see? Right? Like, you could see this happen in a couple different ways. Let's suppose that there's some big celebrity that you're a big fan of. I don't know, let's just pick one. Someone shout out a celebrity. Justin Bieber. Thank you, Cassie. Brilliant. Brilliant man of our time. You can know all there is to know about Justin Bieber. You can know his date of birth. You can know where he was born. You can know all his songs. You can know when he won awards. You can know all about his controversial decisions that he made a couple years ago. You can learn all about how he's somewhat making a decision to follow Jesus, but it's kind of unsure right now. You can know all these things about him, all these fun facts about him, but do you know him? Like, if you walked up to him on the street, hey, buddy, how are you today? Would he be like, oh, good to see you? Or would he be like, who are you? Okay. That's not always true, though. You can know all there is to know about Justin Bieber, all the fun facts, but you don't have a relationship with him. You're not hanging out on the weekends with him. You're not buddy-buddy with him, right? I see this happen, like, there are... Who's a sports fan here? Okay. Well, not too many, but... I'm a big sports guy. I love hockey. I love football, okay? I have my teams, okay? And, yes, I will, like, sometimes study up on who the players are and what their stats are. And whenever there's a trade deadline, I'm like, oh, you know, like I can figure out sports stuff and know all the players' names and know what they're good at and kind of cheer for them on the side, but that doesn't make me a baller. right? Like, me learning about sports doesn't make me good at hockey. It doesn't make me a better hockey player to know all there is to know about Austin Matthews or any of these other hockey guys. It doesn't make me a great football player to just know the stats about certain players. I don't get better at the sport by having knowledge about players on the field. You can have facts in your head about Jesus or about the Bible, but that won't make you an obedient follower. That doesn't give you the relationship with Jesus. You can't have the relationship with Justin Bieber by just knowing facts. You can't have the relationship with sports players by knowing the facts. You don't get a relationship with Jesus by just knowing the facts. Knowledge without obedience does not produce spiritual transformation. It's not just about what you know. It's about how you obey what's been taught, what's been said, what's been called by Jesus. You can know all you want about him, but it's not about knowing what he did. It's about changing how you live in light of what he did. So, how do we apply this? The first thing, we got to stop debating useless, meaningless things. I'm going to nitpick two things, all right? Politics. Man, there's so much time wasted in churches these days debating, discussing, getting wound up over politics. Stop debating useless, meaningless things. Our pursuit of Jesus is meant to lead us to Jesus, not to debate and division over who's in charge of our government. Sports. I know, this one's, I'm preaching to myself here. Look, like, whenever the Stanley Cup playoffs are happening, like, yeah, some of it's, like, playful, and we're like, but it can get out of hand, and it can get ugly, and we can debate, and we can root for our team so hardcore that our relationship to one another, who wear a different color jersey, starts to look pretty ugly. It starts to look like the cities that get burned down when the winning team wins or loses, right? Stop debating useless things. Let's use our time together to seek Jesus. When it comes to, like, Bible and theology, our study of God, there are certain things we got to just stop seeking answers to that Jesus clearly said, you're not going to know this. You're not going to figure this out. It has not even been revealed to me. It's only the Father knows. And we're talking about end times here. People get wound up about end time stuff where anytime there's a U.S. presidential election, there's apparently a new Antichrist. Or anytime there's, right? Or anytime there's something going on in the world, it's like, well, there's the mark of the beast. Like, here's the thing. All of this chatter, all of this worrying, all of this debate, all this stuff, like, Jesus told us, you're not going to know the times. You're not going to know the days. Only the Father knows. And so all we need to do is just trust Jesus, trust the Father, that he's got it all under control. Doesn't matter what's going on. And we just simply got to stop trying to know more without being changed by what we're learning. I am, like, inspired by stories of people in our church who are like, I'm seeking God and I'm in my Bible and I'm in the Word, and that's fantastic. But the fruit needs to follow the study. The life change needs to follow the study. There are some of us who are leaning into a status of knowledge. Oh, I've got this degree, and I've got this certificate, and I've got all these accolades, and I'm very proud of them. And so because I have these things, you should respect me, and you should follow me, and you should listen to what I say, because I'm the know-it-all, apparently. Right? It's not about how many degrees you have. It's about what you do with them. What you do with them matters. And then don't be arrogant and puffed up with what you know. Here's the bottom line here, is that God does want to reveal knowledge to us. He wants us to understand. But there has to be a humility and a grace about when we come to those places of understanding. You don't suddenly become really, 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 really special just because you learned something. No, no, no. You now have something you didn't have before. You understand something. But there's a grace and a humility that you need to say, God, thank you for revealing that to me. Like, I was a moron before you showed this to me. So God, thank you for revealing this. Now I'm going to live my life even more fully, more richly after you, and I'm going to help other people, but only by your guidance. Instead of these things, of leaning into knowledge and being arrogant, debating useless things, instead of doing that, here's what we need to start doing. We need to pursue Jesus. We need to pursue the relationship with Jesus. Not just the facts, not just the ideas about him. We got to pursue him. We have to let our knowledge of him lead to a place where we have, as Paul writes to Timothy in, I'm in the wrong page, about having a pure heart, a clean conscience, and a genuine faith filled with love. This is what Paul writes to Timothy. The command to set these guys straight has to lead to a place where there's a clean conscience and a genuine faith and a pure heart and your heart full of love. When we pursue knowledge, that's where we got to end up too. It's not, oh, look at me, I'm so smart. It's, hey, I've learned something. I'm going to have a pure heart. I'm going to have a clean conscience. I'm going to have a genuine faith. And I'm going to have a heart full of love for my neighbors. And I think practically there's three ways we can really live this out. We need to start just having substantial and life-giving conversations with one another. Whether that's here on a Sunday morning, whether that's in your small group, whether that's when you're at home with your family. Like, the conversations you have should be centered around God and what he's doing and how we are responding to what he's doing. Not just the facts. I think we got to build each other up in faith and in love. And then lastly, we just got to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. When he says, you're out of line here, we don't go, all right, well, I'm going to learn all there is to know about that issue. It's, I'm going to make corrections. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Knowledge without obedience does not produce spiritual transformation. It's not about just knowing. It's about obeying. Listening and obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit and saying yes to what he calls you to do. The band's going to come and lead us here in a few songs. And as they do, we have opportunity now to respond. And so there's a few things you can do. Maybe this morning you need to come forward to the altars here and just kneel before God in prayer and just say, God, there are things in my life that are not pleasing to you, things that are getting me off track. And maybe one of those things is just the fact that you've been arrogant, you've been puffed up with knowledge, you've not been humble and graceful with what you know, and you've not been transformed by what you know. Maybe today you need to seek transformation instead of knowledge. Maybe you just need to stay in your chair and pray, stand and worship and praise. But whatever you do during this time, be listening to the voice of the Spirit. And whatever he says you need to do, you do it. You do it. We obey. Because knowledge without obedience does not produce spiritual transformation. Let's see God move. Let's see some transformation this morning. Amen? Amen.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.